Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
FFT in 5, recapping day 2 of the NFL draft right now. Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg. All right, Jamie, it's FFT in 5. I asked you to do this about an hour ago. Let's do it again. Who are your top 5 rookie wide receivers?
Top 5 rookie wide receivers for the first 2 nights?
Yeah.
Okay, not just from...
Not day 3.
Got you. Marvin Harrison Jr. is number 1. Malik Nabers is number 2. Xavier Worthy is number 3. I'm going to go Ladd McConkey, number 4, and Keon Coleman, number 5.
Okay. All right. It's tough, right? It's tough. No Adunze on there. No Brian Thomas. What did you make of Keon Coleman going to the Bills and Ladd McConkey going to the Chargers?
I mean, great landing spots. You know, when you talk about opportunity, these two guys have as good as anybody in the league outside of really Harrison and Nabers. You know, the problem with Odunze, for example, is he's going to a crowded receiving core that features DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Cole Kmet. You know, you can't forget about that, who's a very good tight end. You know, in terms of where Coleman landed, yes, Khalil Shakir is somebody that has a lot of upside. Yes, Curtis Samuel, someone that knows this offense and has been productive at times, but they're missing an alpha, and he could easily be that alpha. And in terms of McConkey, same thing. You know, you're looking at a receiving core that probably has some guys that do some different things than him in Quentin Johnston and Josh Palmer, but we know what they just lost, their top 2 target getters, at least on a per-game basis, when it comes to Keenan Allen for sure, and then Mike Williams, who was missing most of the season after suffering an ACL tear. I believe it was week 4. But those are their top 2 receivers. So there's a chance for these two guys with great quarterbacks to sort of establish themselves as go-to options in their offenses, whatever you think of them. Clearly, the Chargers is a little bit of a downgrade from a passing standpoint, but there's a chance for them to, you know, be 120-plus target type of guys. And if you have that chance with those quarterbacks, that's going to be something you should gravitate toward.
Okay, I don't know that we could have had a much worse day for the running backs. None of them went to Dallas. None of them went to the Chargers. 3 of them are clearly backups going into the 2024 season. We have Jonathan Brooks, though, going to Carolina. And then we had Blake Corum, not in this order. I'll just do it in order. How about that? Trey Benson to Arizona in round 3. Blake Corum in round 3 to the Rams. Marshawn Lloyd in round 3 to the Packers. Ugh, not good, Jamie.
I think for the case of Brooks, you know, go back to a year ago when we were saying, oh man, the Falcons didn't need Bijan Robinson and the Lions didn't need Jahmyr Gibbs. The Panthers didn't need Jonathan Brooks, right?
I think it made sense for them. I mean, they probably have more pressing needs than running back.
That's the point, right?
Yeah, but it's, again, he's tore his ACL in November. That's always the thing with Jonathan Brooks. Otherwise, I think it'd be cool, pretty good.
So redraft leagues, I think you have to temper expectations because who knows when he'll be back to full speed, not just playing, but just back to himself. And we talked about this on the full-length episode. Breece Hall was amazing. Javonte Williams was just kind of eh. And I hope he's closer to Breece Hall, obviously. So there's a lot to love about what his long-term appeal is in Carolina, but the short-term appeal in terms of 2024, you know, I think you're looking at a guy that could probably hover around an RB2 flex as opposed to being a top 15 caliber guy, which he still has the potential to get to, but we may not see that until 2025. In terms of the other guys, yes, it feels like they're direct backups. We know James Conner's had a hard time staying healthy in his career. Will he be able to make it through the majority of the season? If he does, then Trey Benson is probably not going to be a very relevant fantasy option. And at best, you could probably hope he's along the lines of a Zach Charbonnet, who's had some good moments, had some good moments as a rookie, but, you know, took Ken Walker missing a couple of games for that to happen. Blake Corum going to the Rams behind Kyren Williams. You know, you said it, he was on pace for 320 plus carries. They like to use one guy when they have a guy. And so Corum may fit in here, there, but it's hard to expect him to get a significant role if Kyren stays healthy. And then Marshawn Lloyd went to a very crowded backfield in Green Bay. They just signed Josh Jacobs. They bring back AJ Dillon. Like, I know you are a Lloyd guy, and I started buy in after we did that episode, you know, diving into a little bit more. He was in my top five running backs for the class. Like, this sucks. You know, it's just not, it's going to be tough for him to, you know, get a foothold in that backfield, especially as a rookie. You know, maybe next year if they move on from Dillon, and maybe Jacobs isn't the long-term answer, even though they gave him a multi-year contract. But it's just, it's not the most ideal situation. Now, Jalen Wright's still out there. Braylon Allen's still out there if you like him. Irving Davis, you know, there are guys that could still, you know, make some plays in the right situation. And again, Dallas, the Chargers, you know, I think there's a couple of other destinations that may not make sense right away, but like Minnesota, for example. So we could still get a good couple of running backs that could help fantasy managers, but the top two guys in terms of Brooks and Trey Benson, not the best situations, although I do think Brooks, if healthy, can be pretty good.
All right, and we're kind of out of time here, so just to sum it up with the tight end selected, Ben Sinnott has some appeal. Tip Ryman really does not for fantasy purposes going to the Cardinals, but you know, I made the case for Ben Sinnott as maybe like a top 15 guy on draft day. You weren't so convinced, but I'm just going to turn it over. Well, you know, give me 30 seconds. Give me 30 seconds on Sinnott.
Yeah, if you're inclined to take two tight ends, you have enough depth bench spots, and you know, you mentioned it. If we get positive training camp reports, it's an incomplete receiving core. You know, they have one fairly successful proven guy in Terry McLaurin. They have another guy that had some moments as a rookie in Jahan Dotson that flopped as a sophomore. They add McCaffrey's little brother, you know, to this receiving core. But really, it's not a lot of proven established guys that he has to leap over. You know, Zach Ertz is on the roster, but we saw what happened last year. You know, a young tight end was able to sort of push him to the side, and eventually he asked to leave because he wanted to join a contender. So aging Zach Ertz, if he's not going to get the job done, at some point we could see Sinnott take over, but not going to be somebody that I'm going to covet on draft. Like, I loved LaPorta last year at this time, you know, with the opportunity that he had. I loved Kincaid with the opportunity that he had, you know, even though there was Dawson Knox there. You really loved Kincaid. I remember you were talking about him on draft night being a top 12 guy, and he had a lot of great moments. So we'll see. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
All right. That's Jamie. I'm Adam. Thanks for listening to Fantasy Football Today in 5. We'll talk to you later, everybody.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.